coming. We'll call the Joint Ways and Means meeting for Friday, March 18th to order. Appreciate the few of you that bothered to show up. That's very kind of you. Attendance will be important in the future. I'm going to, for anyone, any staff members that are upstairs, I would hope you point out to your members that the Senate co-chair of Ways and Means, I'm certain the House co-chair is free to do what he would like to do, but if members next week is a critical week for this process in this state legislature. If next week Senate members are not at their committees within 5 minutes of the starting time of the committees, I hope they have no priorities in the state budget, because this co-chair will do everything in his power to make sure anything you're interested in does not get funded. Is there any question from any of the members that are here now? I see none. That's good. I will be sending notices to everyone's office. I will be calling your staff. My staff will be calling your staff. We will be taking a note of attendance. I'll be watching the television monitors with rapt attention to see your eager participation. Next week is absolutely critical to this process. So if there's no further confusion, Mr. Co-Chair, did you have anything you wanted to say?
You know, I'm a kinder, gentler guy. So actually, I echo what Senator Schrader said. Important things are occurring, and we need to make sure that we have participation. Thankful for all the House members, or the most of the House members, to be here. But we do need to have strong participation and make sure that you do show up on time, and that is important. So please do that, and I will call the letter out.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This 5 minutes, is that House time or Senate time?
Okay.
Actually, that's a very fair statement. I take that admonition seriously.
Well, Mr. Chair, I mean, with
Senator Westland
having half as many members and having to do twice as much work, I just thought we should put onto the record that maybe we should be doing a little latitude.
And that's exactly what we were going to say. Important things first, Senator Westland. So we would expect you to be able to make your arrangements and your scheduling and so on to abide by House scheduling times.
In a timely, professional, and courteous manner.
There
I could
you
not
go.
Agree more, Mr.
Well, I'm sure. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question.
Welcome to our body. Sounds like we've got some great competition here. But I enjoy the levity, but I am deadly serious. And anyone that knows me knows I am deadly serious. So we will show up and we will be here on time. Or there will be repercussions. This, in the Ways and Means process, you pay to play, and that's the way it's going to be. I will make one other notification. Some members may not have read the rules or remembered the rules that are so exciting that we voted in as a body at the beginning of session. We encourage every member to vote as their conscience dictates with regard to any budget that comes to the floor of a respective chamber. That's certainly your prerogative. You represent your constituency, and we would hope you would do that. But if you would look at Rule 8, certainly full Ways and Means members, and I would hope anyone that's associated with Ways and Means and serving on the subcommittees would also look at that rule, that you should give notice to the respective co-chair of that chamber if you cannot vote for a budget that comes to the floor. Okay, it's just common courtesy. Ways and Means, we try and operate in a nonpartisan way, and we respect everyone's privileges and rights as a member of this body, but it is expected that you will give notice to the House co-chair for a House Ways and Means member that you can't vote for a particular budget, so he can take that into account as he manages the floor. And I would hope that my Senate members would give me the same courtesy. So just a little reminder, the rules are boring, and we don't necessarily pay attention to them on a day-to-day basis, but that's one rule that I would hope we would recognize.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that has always been a hallmark of Ways and Means that since we have such great privilege to information coming from here, and we operate as a family. Usually people support when they go to their different floors those bills that are coming out of Ways and Means. So even if they don't give a common courtesy to the committee co-chair, at least they can what is carrying the bill as well. And because we have more information than many committees have, and it's just unusual for a member of Ways and Means to vote against a Ways and Means bill.
That's true. All right. Well, today it's going to be a long agenda. Good news is it's not Wayne and I that you'll be listening to. It'll be our learned and esteemed legislative fiscal officer. We're going to go over the materials that hopefully you received earlier in the week that dealt with the prioritization process you're going to spend all next week on. You'll be sitting up here at your dais discussing, much like you would at a local public hearing as a city councilor or a local planning commissioner or a school board member, about all the testimony you've heard for the last 6 or 7 weeks, and trying to prioritize these agency budgets in a way that you think most accurately reflects the interests of your constituents, the people of the state of Oregon, and reflects hopefully the good performance that different programs are showing you. So without further ado, I'll introduce our legislative fiscal officer, and he will walk you through some of the documentation that you got last week so you can have some idea about how you're supposed to go about this process. Feel free to ask questions as we go along. If we get too many of them, we might ask to hold them at the end. But with that, let's have Mr. Rocco start off, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ken Rocco, Legislative Fiscal Office. The co-chairs had wanted to provide some guidance to the committee for what we're about to embark on next week and then the weeks following that. And recognizing that this is a new process that has not been done before in the Oregon Ways and Means process. So based on that, they wanted to provide you some materials to help in your work. We're sorry about the delay in getting these to you. Since it is a new process, it's being developed sort of on the fly. We're calling this just-in-time planning because as things occur and change, we're trying to be flexible and respond to those changes that are occurring. This process has been rolled out in steps, basically. The guidance material that we're going to review today was provided to the sub-chairs last Friday. And during this week, since they saw this material, they've been working with staff on how each of the subcommittees will be proceeding next week. The co-chairs wanted to provide some flexibility to the subs, and so they allowed the sub-chairs to devise within certain parameters how the approach will be done in each of the committees next week. And then finally, they wanted to give all of you an opportunity to review the same material so that you could ask questions and be clear as possible about what's to happen next week and then as we get into phase two. The material that we provided you is on the LFO webpage. If you go to the link to the Joint Ways and Means Committee, this guidance material has all been posted out there. The materials that we gave to you are originally, they were designed in sort of a cover memo, which is in your packet, the first three pages, and then there were attachments to that. Each in the cover memo, every time you run across some italics, it's referring to one of those attachments. And as I go through the cover memo, I'll point out to you the attachment that you should look at. The first thing that we needed to do was set up a what we're calling a global schedule for the next through the projected time of sine die, which we have identified as June 17th. So what we did was work back from that and set up a process in these three phases. You may have seen this calendar earlier, and because of the 1 week in phase one where subcommittees did not meet, we made some adjustments to it. So this is revised from what you've seen before. We also added a week to the phase two time period in order to give you more opportunity to delve into budget detail. So those are the major changes to that schedule from what you've seen before. For the prioritization week that's to occur next week, on the cover memo there's a series of bullets that I'll go through very briefly about the expectations for that. Now there are additionally two pieces of guidance material in the packet. There's one called Prioritization Process Guidance, and this just has a series of things that for your consideration when you're looking at how to prioritize agency programs. And you've all seen the lists that agencies have submitted, and you're going to be working off of those lists next week. You're going to be using the same list, but you're based on each individual subcommittee, you'll be addressing those lists slightly differently. There's also a using performance measurement as a tool for program prioritization material that just gives you, again, some helpful guidance on how to look at performance measures when you're doing a prioritization of programs. Thanks, Larry. attached to that, using performance measurement as a tool guidance is are several pages that were provided by NCSL in the materials that you we had a presentation from them earlier in session, and there are some materials that we copied out of that legislating for results manual that was provided to members just again with some concepts for you to consider when you're looking at how to use performance measures and the kinds of questions to ask agencies when you're dealing with the performance measures that they bring to you. So those are two items of guidance that you can use not directly next week, but just if you read those, I think they will give you some ideas of what to think about and how to proceed. The goal of next week is just to get a first cut at each of the agency's prioritizations from the subcommittee's perspective. This is not the final product, because if you look at the global schedule, you can see that there's going to be another round of prioritization after you get more detail and budget information over the phase two period. We're expecting the subchairs to try to push the subcommittee to a consensus type agreement because there's going to be no formal vote taken. It's just going to be a discussion and a reordering of what the agencies have submitted to.
Mr. Rocco?
Yes.
Senator Shields has a question.
I noticed in the last paragraph of your commentary a particular word, and sometimes words are important. Just how important is it that the very first five words you say is the goal is a first cut, emphasizing the three-letter word cut? You get my drift here?
I absolutely get your drift.
It seems to me that we always start with the word cut.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, given the fact that this is related to the budget process, that probably was an inappropriate word to use. So.
I'm being a little bit facetious, but I'm being serious, too. I mean, we even start with our basic language saying this is a first cut at what we're going to do. Hello. I just wanted to interject that into our consciousness, shall I? Thank you.
Yes,
sir.
Continue.
And actually, what we're trying to do this time in Ways and Means is figure out where we're going to invest the available dollars that we have. So that is actually, you're very appropriately pointed out. So what we're hoping that the committees will do and that the subchairs will help with is to focus the discussion towards the goal of getting this subcommittee prioritization product. We're hoping that you bring with you any questions that you might have about program information needs that you have. I think most of you are going to be reviewing lists over the weekend or early next week. If you have any questions, bring those to the discussion next week, because we're going to be further refining that list as time goes on. So it's going to be a work in progress. We're going to have agency representatives in the room, but we don't expect them to present anything to you. This is a subcommittee-driven discussion next week. They'll be there if you have a question about a program. If you need more information or a better description of what the program actually does, we're hoping to have agency representatives there to discuss that with you. We're not expecting you to make decisions on performance measures during next week. This is a prioritization exercise. Performance is important in how you prioritize, but the actual measures themselves will be dealt with later in the subcommittee process. And we also have a piece of guidance on that I'll get to in a little bit. And I will talk to you about what we anticipate the subcommittees will actually do in adopting performance measures for agencies. We were asked, LFO staff was asked to help subcommittees identify for agencies that have only provided you with an across-the-board type reduction option list. LFO analysts have been asked to help identify entire programs that could be ranked lower, so that if you didn't want to just take a thinning of the soup kind of approach and you needed to come up with a reduction option, that you could identify a program in its entirety. And this is partly related to the fact that our revenue budget situation is a structural problem that we have, and that by eliminating whole programs you can perhaps save discussions next session about reductions that may be needed or where you would invest your dollars. As I mentioned before, the subchairs have been working all this week with LFO staff to come up with a scheme for each of the subcommittees. We're using the form that had been submitted by agencies, so it'll look familiar to you. In some cases, there will be columns that are hidden, and just to make it more usable to you, we're going to add, in all cases, we're going to add a column for your ranking so that you can either put a number in there, or some committees are going to use a high, medium, and low type approach to begin with. So there will be some ability for you to enter into the list yourself what your rank is for each of the programs. We expect these lists to be reviewed during the week, and some committees will have a number of agencies to go through, because we're all the phase one agencies that made presentations to you are going to have their lists prioritized by you. And we expect those lists to be delivered to the co-chairs by Monday, March 28th. And again, we wanted to point out this is not the final product on the prioritized list. It's only an interim step towards that next round of prioritization that's scheduled to occur in the week of May 16th through the 20th. And at that time, the co-chairs are expecting a vote, because at that time you're going to be prioritizing within a program area. So you're going to be blending agency programs and coming up with a list, a prioritized service list for programs within that entire program area.
If I may interject for a minute here, the next week's exercise, though, is important. It's not the, as Ken says, not the be-all, end-all, but the co-chairs anticipate taking all the hard work you've done, all the information you've gleaned over the last 6-7 weeks, into their budget. It's a little different than the usual co-chair budget process, which is just a
Wayne and Kurt show. So we're trying to incorporate all the work and expertise you've developed over the last 6-7 weeks with these agencies. So when you give us those that prioritized list, it will be part of the co-chair's budget. There will be an appendix that will show this list with maybe some minor modifications by the co-chairs. And please don't take it amiss if, you know, at the end of the day, you've gone through all this and the co-chairs change a few little things. Please, I think there'll be a few things at most that we might change. We will want to basically validate all your hard work. But we'll use that list not only to showcase what we're buying in the state of Oregon with the money the taxpayers have given us, but we're also going to use that to decide those programs that are at the bottom of the list, if we need to find resources to fund things that you have indicated through the course of your deliberations, or the co-chairs have indicated through their course of deliberations that they think they need to buy. So those programs, when you do your prioritized list, those things that are at the bottom of that list, think long and hard, because they will be the first things to go if we need to make purchases of other services that we and you consider more important. So it's a very important process next week. Representative Morgan and Representative Richards.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Allowing to stand the comments that you just made, I think that it, again, though, needs to be reiterated that the work that the subcommittees are going to do next week is simply the first cut at a prioritization list. And the document that comes out of the end of that process, at the end of that week, is an advisory document, if you will, to the co-chairs as they form their budget. There will be a very robust discussion in phase two in the subcommittees around the final placement of the items in that list. So don't let the process in the subcommittees get bogged down around the finality of the first cut. It's only a first cut. With apologies to Senator Shields for the use of that term.
Representative Richardson.
Mr. Co-Chair, in light of Mr. Rocco's suggestion that we look for possibilities that there may be programs that have outlived their, you know, their usefulness, and that we ought to, in the course of giving this advisory information to the co-chairs, maybe make reference to such programs, I would just remind us that the fundamental question that helps with that is to ask, as we look at each program, if it didn't exist today, would we create it? Because the answer to that question can really clear up a lot of questions as to whether or not we should continue to fund it.
Sure. Very helpful. Continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Another important thing that needs to be addressed about this process is the need for public input into it. Since this initial list development is not the final product, the co-chairs decide, and based on the limited time we have to do all this, the co-chairs decided that public testimony won't be taken next week during the prioritization scheme, but that definitely there will be opportunities during the phase two hearings on the agency budgets when more detail, budget detail is provided on the agency's budgets, that there will be opportunity provided for public input on both the agency budget and on the prioritization lists that were developed by the subcommittee. The next phase of the, or the next piece of the budget process that I'd like to review briefly would be the co-chair budget, which is anticipated to come out on April 4th. As Senator Schrader mentioned, these lists that you do, that you provide are going to be considered in the development of that of that co-chair budget, and especially the programs that are ranked lower on the list are going to be looked at by the co-chairs as possibilities for being addressed in the co-chair budget if based on the available revenues that we have for program for supporting programs. So the co-chairs are going to review the prioritized lists that you submit and incorporate them into the co-chair budget. The co-chair budget is going to be based on the understanding that the actual dollar amounts will be fine-tuned during the phase two and three process, so that although the lists have dollars associated with them based on the governor's budget right now, that's not going to be that is not the actual end product, the definitive number that will be associated with that program, because that's something that will be worked out in the regular budget work of phases 2 and 3. And the co-chairs are also going to include a set of budget principles that they're working on now that will be used to guide decision-making during the second and third phases of the budget process and in determining the final budget outcome.
May I ask a question?
Question, Senator Gordon.
As the co-chairs are developing that set of principles, will there be an opportunity for members of the full committee to share their input on those principles? Are you going to share a draft, or can you say more about the process?
Well, based on just-in-time planning, that sounds like that might be an excellent idea, and we'll probably have an opportunity to do that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Question, Senator Devlin.
Can I back up a moment to priority lists? We will attempt to do something in the Education Committee, which is the first time it will have been done in this building. And that is, and it wasn't actually even done by the agency when it was presented to the committee. They ranked all 18 elements of the state school fund as priority one. We will be ranking all 18 elements in order. That, by necessity, means that we will put a different ranking on primary education over middle school education versus high school education. Some of those priority listings are not meant to imply that you could actually, how would I say it? No one is suggesting that you wouldn't have a high school education. But we, if you want us to actually put rankings, we are going to have to actually put rankings on those areas.
I look forward to the committee's discussion.
Yes. So do I.
Representative Wisdom. Yes, Mr. Chair. Would you please tell us the co-chair's budget on April 4th? Will we actually have some numbers in the subcommittees at that time? I'm not sure I understand your question. Have numbers in the subcommittee at that time?
Will you be giving us a dollar amount for our...
In other words, will those constitute the targets for how much you get to spend in your program
yes,
area?
Sir.
Yeah, that would be our understanding.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, then the next phase of the process, referring back to that global calendar, begins on March 28th, and this is immediately following the prioritization week. And it extends currently through May 13th, and we're calling this phase two. There are materials in your packet that are instructions to agencies for the Ways and Means Presentation Guidelines. We revised these in January. We had sent these out to agencies in October of last year to get them prepared for Ways and Means. We revised these in January after developing this phased approach to the budget presentation material, and again sent these out to agencies in January. Mm-hmm. And we're just including them here again for your information, because agencies will be coming forward with the material that we've identified in these guidelines. And there will be a similar approach by each agency to what types of material they will be providing to you. And you're going to see much more budget detail at this point in the process, but still with looking at performance measures and how that ties to the budget detail. So basically, we're expecting the actual presentations in phase two to follow these guidelines. And as I mentioned, they're designed to get into budget detail. overview discussions should have been completed by now, so agencies are not going to give you go back over the stuff that they've already provided you in phase one. So we're hoping by sticking to these guidelines you can get immediately into detailed information and forego the overview, a rehashing of the overview presentation. In addition, during phase two, agencies are expected to respond to the questions that you gave them in phase one. I think the direction was instead of taking a lot of time with because of the compressed time frame, agencies didn't have time to respond immediately to many of your questions, so they're supposed to be bringing back those answers in phase two. We looked at the agencies and came up with three types of agencies for the phase two materials. We have the large phase one agencies in phase two they will basically do five or six things: respond to the questions you asked during phase one, respond to performance measure changes that you requested in phase one. They're going to review the budget detail. And this is including revenues, expenditures, what's in the governor's budget, policy packages, and anticipated outcomes of the budget. You will be receiving public testimony, and staff will set up time with the co-chair, sub-chair's approval, times for public testimony. And you will also be able to complete any initial work session pieces that you can do. Typically, in Ways and Means, we try to get the subcommittees to make decisions as you go along so that they don't have to be revisited later when the budget is passed out. And the sub-chairs and staff will help with having those decisions made at the time. And in many cases, this won't be the completed product, but it'll just be a point where you can make agreement on certain technical changes to the budget, and you may not need to make any policy choices at that time, but these are just technical adjustments that if we can get you to agree to those, then we don't have to discuss them again later. We also have some smaller agencies that...
Question, Representative Morgan.
No, I was Representative Smith.
Representative Smith, excuse me.
Thank you, Chair Schrader. To digress just a minute or so back, under the budget detail when the agencies come forward, the priorities of the committees will have then been released in whatever process the committees go through. And then we will also have the current governor's recommended budget before us. Would you share with us how you envision the budget detail discussion working through, knowing that now we really have two documents that are out there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, since the original priority lists were built off of the governor's recommended budget, I think all you'll be seeing is a drilling down into the detail of each of those lines in the prioritized list. So I don't think your product is just going to be a resorting of those program areas. So I don't think there's going to be a conflict in that area. You'll just get more detail about the components of the budget. You haven't seen to date the split between personal services and S&S and capital outlay and budgets, and that's the kind of information that you'll be getting. In addition, you'll see any kind of policy option package that an agency might have that is noted on the prioritized list in one of the columns, but you'll get more information about actually what that package would do for the agency.
So what? Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the agencies continue with their discussion under the governor's proposed budget, knowing that we've also have these priorities over here as we delve into each of the areas.
That would be correct, yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
The second group of agencies that we identified would be small phase one agencies, and in this case, given co-chair and sub-chair approval, you may be able to actually finish work sessions on some of these smaller agencies and some of the other funded agencies. And this doesn't necessarily mean that the decision hasn't been made yet about how far that would go in the process. You can pass them on a subcommittee, and then, if possible, they can just sit before they go to the full Ways and Means Committee. What we're trying to do is give you an opportunity to focus attention later in the process on the larger budgets and get some of these smaller ones out of the way, where decision-making is a little easier to do. We also have a group of agencies, the third group, which are non-Phase 1 agencies, and many of these are small boards and commissions that were not presented at all in the Phase 1 period. So we're anticipating in these cases that, again, there's a variety of them, but in some cases you might do all of the Phase 1, Phase 2, and Phase 3 work at one time and actually review their prioritized lists, review their performance measures like you did in Phase 1, and then continue on to get budget detail, and then continue on to Phase 3 to actually pass them out of the subcommittee. And again, they could either go to full or not, and that would be a decision the co-chairs would make. Now, what we have done is also attached to your materials is a listing by subcommittee of all of the agencies in each of the subcommittee, and the highlighted ones are the ones that we potentially identified for the completing some of the work and possibly even passing them out during Phase 2. And again, this just depends on the schedule and how things proceed in each of the subcommittees. And again, we would run these, before this is done, we would run it by the co-chairs and the sub-chairs to make sure that all the issues were dealt with, and then it would be up to the subcommittee to decide whether they wanted to actually pass these out or not in the second phase. And again, this is to try to clear the decks as much as possible so that we can focus attention later in session on the larger and more complicated budgets.
If I can draw some attention to that, make sure people understand, especially the newer members, historically the way the Ways and Means process had been done is we would have already been looking at all these small little boards and commissions. Those are usually the first budgets we deal with. And the idea behind that is, generally speaking, not to minimize their mission for their particular group they represent, but in the scheme of the universe, taxpayer dollar-wise and interest level on the parts of Oregonians, they probably don't rank very high. So the thought was, in past years, we just get those done, get them out of the way, because there is a certain time element that's involved. Once a committee makes a decision about a final budget, getting that budget put together in a thoughtful way, getting it across the floors of both the House and the Senate. And since we're not doing that this time, well, geez, how do we keep our workload moving thoughtfully and progressively through the body, not be here till August? And the answer that the staff has come up with is that, well, hopefully by doing the Phase 1 approach and focusing on the big agencies, members will realize these are the most important agencies, and that's where we should be spending most of our limited time in the 6 months we're here. And in Phase 2, these small little boards and commissions will show up. Most of them have little or zero general fund in them. Most all of them, except for a few, have virtually no problems. The constituency and the public is okay with them, and our goal is that hopefully the subcommittees will not dwell on them unless there's a legitimate problem, and move them through with some alacrity so that you can, once again, in Phase 2 and particularly in Phase 3 and work session, then focus on a real thoughtful deliberation to get the last big budgets out. So that's the thought process behind that. Representative Hansen.
At what point will we be doing, on that type of a budget, would we be doing the real technical adjustments for Attorney General rate and gas rates and that?
It could all be in Phase 2. If it's the veterinary board, you could be doing that all boom, boom, boom right there. The staff would, Rocky, correct me if I'm wrong, but theoretically staff would be prepared to run that budget out at one hit, one sitting.
Will we have those Attorney General dollars and down dollars?
Oh, I see what
stuff?
You're saying, yes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, we're working on getting amounts for those, some of the assessment agencies. However, if it isn't in time for that, what we have done in the past is use what we call an omnibus adjustment bill, that where we can adjust all the budgets that have been passed out already on the basis of decisions made later in the session about an assessment or a rate that is applied to all agencies. So there is a mechanism to deal with that.
Further clarification, what Representative Hansen very thoughtfully is reminding us of is that, you know, the every agency has to pay fees, if you will, to the Attorney General's office and the Department of Administrative Services, as you've seen in these budgets. So generally those would be the first two budgets in the Public Safety and the General Government Committee that will come out or be worked at least enough they can be put on the shelf so the other agencies will have that information. That's a good comment. Thank
and
you
Mr.
for reminding
Chair,
us. Yes, Senator Gordley.
We are scheduled to look at the Department of Justice during that first week of March 28th through April 1st.
Good. Good comment, good thought.
And, Mr. Chair, I believe the general government is also looking at the Department of Administrative Services budget early in phase two also.
Further questions? No. Continue.
Mr. Chair, then the last piece of guidance in your packet is on performance measurement, and it's entitled Ways and Means Performance Measure Process Guidance. We're expecting during phase two that additional work is going to be completed to refine performance measures because you asked questions about those and made some points to agencies about things you'd like to see during phase one. Maybe adjustments to targets, adding measures, deleting measures, wording measures, and those we anticipate will come back to you in phase two or phase three. We're anticipating that the committees will take a formal adoption of the recommendations on performance measures, and it will be included as part of a subcommittee's final action on the budget. This may include directions to agencies to develop a new measure, so the recommendation may just be to an agency to work on it and bring it back to an interim committee of some sort. And we did this last session, and it was generally to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, where recommendations on revised measures were brought to that committee for their approval. And that worked rather well, I think. We're working right now on another just-in-time planning document of getting a listing in the budget report that will reflect the decisions a subcommittee makes on performance measures. Last session, we included narrative commentary in the budget report that just identified what the subcommittee had changed or what direction they gave, whether they told an agency to come back to the audit committee or not. This time we're working on a form that will actually list all the performance measures so there's a record of what the performance measures are associated with the budget report. So it ties it closer then to the budget process. Instead of having it in two different places, it'll be all in one place. And that guidance goes into some more details of what kinds of things that you might see from staff bringing in a recommendations on performance measures. The next phase of the global schedule is the May 16th through May 20th week, and this is when the program area prioritization will occur. The goal here is to have a subcommittee approved list within each of the program areas. This, of course, will be reflective of the work that you do in phase two when you get more detailed budget information on the programs that you've already prioritized. And during this time, when you hear more detail, budget detail, that's your time to keep in mind of changing your original subcommittee prioritized list based on that information that you gather. And again, these lists then will be used by the co-chairs in allocating what resources that we have to the highest priority state programs and services for the final budget. And again, we haven't decided on what type of public response will be allowed for in that period of time, but the co-chairs are very aware of the need to have public input, and will again, we'll set aside some ability to have that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Gorley.
And as we are looking at building in the time for public testimony, I hope that we're also looking at evenings and even the possibility of the Friday day and well, possibly weekend if necessary. What I want to underscore is that this is a new process and that we need to be building in as many opportunities as possible for the public to weigh in and fully understand what it is we're doing and how we're doing it. So flexibility, our flexibility is the key.
Point well taken. Very good. Continue.
So the final phase three work session period right now scheduled between May 23rd and June 17th would be, again, this is a little sketchier because we don't know at the end of phase two, we don't know what's going to be left, and that depends a lot on the activities that you take on these smaller boards and commissions and smaller agencies in phase two. But we anticipate phase three to be the co-chair finalization of priorities, final work sessions on all the remaining budgets that we have, again, adoption of performance measures for each agency that hasn't been formally adopted in the phase two time period. And then this is also the time that would be set aside for action on referred bills, bills referred by substantive committees to Ways and Means, except for those that are budget dependent. We do have a number of bills that an agency's budget depends on, and those will typically be done in conjunction with the budget in phase two or three whenever that particular agency's budget comes up. And that's all I have, Mr. Chair, if you want to have any more questions.
Very good. Any further questions or clarifications at this time? Representative Morgan.
Just a couple of comments, Mr. Co-Chair, from the perspective of the sub-chairs and the members of the subcommittees. You should all have in your hands now the process and the worksheets that you'll be using next week in the prioritization process. Please take the time up front to read through the instructions that you've gotten and make sure that you understand the instructions that you've gotten from your subcommittee chair, because there is some slight variations in the process from committee to committee. Please also take time to go through the prioritized lists and do the preliminary work on them that the subchairs have asked you to do in preparations for the meeting next week. The time frame is very condensed here. For example, in the Natural Resources Subcommittee, we have scheduled either three or four agencies every day to prioritize, and so it's incumbent on us, in order to get our work product out to the subchairs in time, that we're prepared to go into these discussions. It would be a good idea, as you go through the prioritized lists, if you have questions about the programs, to note them on the list as you go through the list and bring that information in with you so you can get clarification from the analysts or the agency people that are there. It is going to be incumbent on the subchairs and the analysts to move the process along. So please be mindful of the fact that this is a very compact time frame. Don't lose sight of the fact that this is a first attempt at prioritization, and it's going to be the place that you push off from as you reach down into the phase two part of this process. So I would urge you not to get too hung up on perfection, to use a consensus process in this, and go into the meetings prepared with the questions that you have and prepared with the rankings that you think that these things should receive, so that the discussions can move forward expeditiously and productively.
Very good comments. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I would appreciate some discussion with respect to the issue of prioritization and the separation of powers, so to speak, with the Secretary of State's office, the statewide offices that have a constitutionally driven separation from our constitutional responsibility, and how we prioritize, for example, the Secretary of State's office. There were some issues that arose in our hearing this week with respect to constitutional interpretations of what the Secretary of State feels that he needs to be doing, where there is significant overlap within the governor's office and DAS, specifically with respect to IRMD, as one issue. And I would appreciate some discussion and clarification with respect to how far can we go in determining the Secretary of State's tasks and the things that that office needs to be working on. Where do we begin and where do we end in this process? It would be very helpful if we could have some discussion around that.
I will say this is just the Senate co-chair talking at this point in time. I mean, to a certain extent, we are going into uncommon ground. I will offer that while we recognize separation of powers and branches, that it is the legislative branch's duty to fund these branches in whatever fashion they see fit. And certainly I would hope that the discussions, whether it's the treasurer, the governor's office, or even the lowly state legislature, that you would be deferential in how you approach these agencies, but ask the tough questions. I would hope that the agencies, including the state legislature, would be interested in how their performance is being ranked and what priorities the state, the people of the state, think are important, because after all, that's who you reflect. You're supposed to be representatives of the people, and I think it's very appropriate you bring these things up and give it your best shot. Certainly, each and every one of those executive branches has the opportunity to do what they see best, unless it's a line item in their budget. They can certainly manage things as they would like to, but I would suspect that given the fact they'll have to come back to the next state legislature and justify what they're doing and why they're doing it, that they would be very interested in what the state legislature would consider the priorities. And then again, like Ken said, during phase two, they'll hopefully be pushing back and saying, well, geez, you know, if this function doesn't rank as high with you, why is that? And they'll talk about their constitutional responsibilities. They'll talk about their judicial mandates. And then that will be incorporated in your final decision. There's no blueprint here, Senator. There is no blueprint. It will be you developing this for future generations, and it will be an improved blueprint the next legislature and probably the next one after that. So that, for me, that's about the amount of guidance I can give you. I don't know if any other co-chairs or vice chairs.
Well, I would say, Senator Morse, that pretty much agree with what Senator Schrader has said. However, I do think that to do this job and to do it correctly, we need to have the freedom the oversight allows that to occur. So I suggest that, no offense intended, but we look at them as equals, and that we go after and discover whatever we need to, whatever guidelines the chair feels appropriate for the direction to take. And so I don't think there are any limitations, and that we should have them.
Follow up.
If I could just add something very quickly.
A clarification, yes, please.
I agree with Representative Scott that we have the ultimate responsibility here of acting as advocates for the people of the state of Oregon in the wise disposition of the tax dollars that they spend to us. And we need to be very sure that we have a thorough discussion across all of the policy areas about whether we're accomplishing that goal or not. I think that the particular challenge that we have when we're dealing, especially with the agencies that you're describing, is that we be focused on the problems or the situations that we're uncovering that we would like more information on and are seeking clarity on and are looking for different ways of doing it. To be looking at those issues from the perspective of defining problems and solving problems rather than trying to push particular agendas forward or push particular points of view. I think that the integrity of the budget process in this building has always been around that model, and that this is probably one of the most nonpartisan places that you'll experience in the legislative process, and there's a great deal of value in trying to keep it that way.
Follow-up, Senator?
Yes, thank you. How much detail do you anticipate in the budget? For example, the Secretary of State has very specifically outlined all of the programmatic areas, his policy option packages. Will our budget be reflective of the specificity of the Secretary of State's presentation to us?
Well, I will say, if I understand your question correctly, you will look at what the Secretary of State or Department of Human Services rankings are, and you will be making adjustments in those rankings based on the format that your subcommittee chair has given you, or if they haven't quite given you it, will be giving you by the end of today. And you will be listing it specifically, 1 through 20, 1 through 47, 1 through whatever it is.
Thank you. But there's a follow-up question. The actual budget bill, how much detail will be in the budget bill?
Again, that's phase three. That's not, don't worry about that next week.
Mr. Chair and Senator Morris, the budget bill detail is dependent on the wishes of the co-chairs and the subcommittees. Some agencies have a one line for their entire agency. Other agencies are broken down by some other budgetary unit, typically divisions of the agency. And that's something that Ways and Means has been tending towards, more detail in budget bills for accountability reasons and budget tracking reasons. And I think the tendency over time has to be having fewer agencies with a one-line type appropriation and having more with a detailed appropriation. However, in the Oregon Ways and Means process, we've never gotten into categories or expenditure objects within a division. For example, a line just for personal services within the Secretary of State's office, Executive Director's Office, for example, so that level of detail. But it is possible to break agencies down into their major operating units in the budget bill if the co-chairs and subcommittees so desire.
Yeah, thank you.
A little follow-up based on that, that hopefully this, hopefully with the emphasis we're having on performance outcomes, there was some discussion by the co-chairs about including them actually in the budget bill at the end of session in some very summarized form, so that the next legislature as well as the agency would have their attention drawn to the importance of that. And I guess my thinking at this point in time, and again it is my thinking, would be that hopefully we wouldn't have to itemize these budget bills in excruciating detail if we have performance outcomes. In other words, we would not be delving into the micromanagement to try and get them to do the right thing. But as long as they're, you know, performing well, then we can go ahead and give them, you know, the due credit that they deserve and move forward next legislative session with reappropriation of monies for good things. And of course, if they're not performing well or certain programs aren't performing well, then the obvious question is why and why not, as much as you did already this legislative session. But hopefully that would be the intent of this whole performance-based budget. Senator Berger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just need a little clarification here on the prioritizing. If an agency has done a good job and they have taken their performance measures and then their prioritization is an overlay of their 10% cut, I'm trying to figure out what outcome-based individual people on subcommittees have to rearrange that. In other words, you don't want just to say that, okay, everything that the agency has given you, you agree with. And going back to Representative Morgan's point is that we represent the people, but we don't have, or maybe I've missed it, some way of saying the performance measures were good, they made sense, their prioritization and their 10% cut made it, but I don't agree. And I can't say that just as a personal opinion. So that part bothers me a bit. And then when LFO comes in with their recommendations, that is worrisome to me as a new member of Ways and Means. And that is this, that is based solely on the work of the subcommittees and not, in other words, not just LFO's opinion.
Yes, Senator. Actually, the LFO recommendations, as they will be bringing them, will hopefully be reflective of the subcommittee discussion you've had so far and the discussion with the subcommittee chairs about what they understand the sense of the body is at this point in time, realizing full well that you're not going to capture that 100% accurately. So this next week, you get to make your first attempt of two or three attempts to work through that and refine by consensus where the committees think that ranking should be. The committee and working with the analysts has every right to say, boy, this agency looks good. Like what they said, like the rankings, like the priorities, we're done. You know, and that's fine. I would hope there might be a few agencies that might occur, you know, where you sync up 100%. I would hope, again, this, and everyone's going to do what they're going to do, but you have local government experience, and as I have a little bit also, and I would hope that the discussion is not around what I want, what you want. When I was a planning commissioner, you had to testify based on the criteria, and the criteria are based on performance, based on prioritization, not about person's personal preference. So I would hope that the tenor of the subcommittee discussion will be mostly around criteria that make sense, priorities of government, that sort of thing, rather than individuals' likes or dislikes.
Thank you.
Good question. We had Representative Smith. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think Senator Verger raises a good point that some of the budgets within our committee are going to have before us. You know, what are the most important issues? But the reason I raised my hand is you know, based upon the budgets that we're going to roll out. I think it goes without saying that we're overseers of this money. That you know, that yes, we have to have trust in the agencies and work with them and all that. But I've noticed in our bills, our budget bills over the last two bienniums, that we're no longer putting allotment controls with DAS in these budgets, and that's troubling to me. And on Senator Morris's question, I think it's advantageous to take these budget bills and to break them out by sections. You know, the department's heads have the ability statutorily to take 10% of their budget and redirect it where they want to. But I truly believe when you're dealing with issues as important as health care and protecting seniors and the vulnerable, and the legislature says this is where we want to make sure this gets done, that we have a mechanism in place to do that. That's my personal opinion.
Can I ask staff to comment on the allotment controls? We do have some still in place, so let's clarify that.
Mr. Chair and Representative Smith, allotment controls are in place by statute. There was some language that was put into individual agency bills that, in consulting with legislative council, LFO and council agreed that that was superfluous language, didn't need to be there, because we have statutory language that all agencies under executive branch control submit allotment plans to DAS, and that DAS monitors those expenditures.
Are they still doing?
Yes, well, they are.
Are they still doing that on a quarterly basis?
Yes, they are.
What was the rationale, just a quick follow-up, what was the rationale then for taking it out of the budget bills?
The rationale was it was superfluous language that didn't need to be in the budget bill, because there is existing statutory language that requires agencies to submit allotment plans to DAS on a quarterly basis.
Thank you.
There is another opportunity I'll mention, although I would rather not be used, as a co-chair, I'd rather not be used excessively, and that's the work plan approach. You may find an agency that is struggling to perform to the best of its capabilities, and the consensus of the committee is that, geez, this is an agency that really needs some help and maybe some ongoing guidance over the next 18 months. And to that extent, there's an opportunity in some cases to do a little work plan, and sometimes money allocations go along with that. So that's another opportunity to get perhaps at what you're wanting to do. But we want to be very thoughtful and careful in going down that route, and the subcommittee chairs are going to get a little presentation on how to most thoughtfully use that, should that be necessary this coming legislative session.
Thank you.
We had Senator Devlin.
Just a minor issue. Some of the agencies, I don't know if this has occurred in other subcommittees, have actually prioritized the DASH assessment. Obviously, I don't think that's almost like debt service in a sense. Do you want us to prioritize that within the agency?
Next question.
But I'll back up here.
Yeah, I want some performance measures on the good chair next week. Okay? Let's see how well he moves through his budget.
Now, here's another follow-up to this. You've identified, in the sense that if an agency is not performing, that might be a justification for saying that maybe you don't continue with that program. In education, I think there's been a lot of testimony that if we had an area of concern, it might be our high schools and graduation rates and performance levels. That might not be an issue too much of that they need less resources, but that they need more at that level. So I would think that there may be some discussions in that area. And even though I'm 10 or 15 minutes behind this portion of the discussion, because that's how long it took the chair to recognize me.
Apologies. Devlin won.
I don't think that there's really an issue with statewides coming before committees, because, I mean, in the Public Safety Committee, the Chief Justice and the Attorney General came before that committee, and I've always used a rule that anybody that comes before a committee, whether they're the Chief Justice or they're a director of a three-person agency, deserve to be treated respectfully and courtesy. It's sort of the old adage, I expect, I treat people as I would expect them and hope them to treat members of my committee. So.
Good comment, very good comment. Representative Lockhart, thank you for waiting.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Going back to Senator Morse's question regarding the Secretary of State, let me ask a similar one more specifically so we make sure the co-chairs actually get information that's useful to you. As an example, if the Secretary of State presents a particular auditing function, then along with that presents Attorney General opinions that draw two conclusions. One, that only the Secretary of State's office has the constitutional duty to perform that function, and that, two, the legislative branch of government does not have the constitutional authority to shift that function to somebody else. That could put the committee in the position of prioritizing that particular function on something other than performance measures. And I would assume then that the co-chairs would just need to know why a decision was made that deviated from the performance measures.
That's a very good point, and certainly that's open for discussion, I think, that particular issue. But yes, there will be other things, that whether it's a constitutional judicial mandate, maybe it's a terribly run program, but it's judicially mandated, or it's a constitutional mandate. However, within that judicial mandate and that constitutional requirement, the next question you would ask, of course, is, geez, are we doing something wrong in implementing that? Is there a better way to implement that judicial mandate? Or does the Constitution require us to go to this length to implement that constitutional requirement, or can we do it this way? So you really have some leeway even within that, but that's a very good comment and exactly the way, another way you'd have to rank things. We had Senator Westland. Thank you for waiting, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Back to Senator Devlin, as usual, well-articulated question. I actually think that's a legitimate issue. If you want to look at debt service associated with a given programmatic area, and that we bonded to fund that, if that particular area isn't a priority, then I think that debt service as it relates to that particular line item is
you weren't
legitimate.
Talking about the state fair, were you?
I did not. I used the ST word every once in a while. I never used the SF word.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Any other questions of LFO? I appreciate everyone's patience here today, and I wish you the best of luck next week. It's going to be very difficult. I admire your courage in doing it. With that, meeting's adjourned.